You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me. As you always are, every Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to the show today. We've got a great one as usual, fabulous guest, author. And I'm also going to be answering your email questions about certain situations you're in and problems you may have. And I've already contacted you guys about what I'm going to handle. So hopefully, yeah, you're listening. Hopefully you're there and I can help you out. And of course, you can always call me and, of course, my guest at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. That's the Los Angeles line here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk station and award-winning, according to Talkers Magazine, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Let me ask you something, guys. How many years have you been saying, I'm going to do this in my life? I'm going to achieve this, whatever it may be. A job, getting some kind of a project going. How about relationships, getting a great relationship moving? Targeting on the kind of people you want to be with and put in your life. Making that shift to get to where you want to go. How many times, how many years have you put into saying, I'm going to do this, and something's gone wrong, something's gone awry, and you always find excuses. Well, these people weren't there when I needed them, or they dropped the ball on me, or whatever. This is about taking responsibility and making plans for your life. And my special guest today is Beg Flaxington, and she is the author of her latest best-selling book. It's called Make Your Shift, The 5 Most Powerful Moves You Can Make to Get You Where You Want to Go. And it's all about that. It's a fabulous book. It's a nice, comfortable, easy read, and will help you move along in your life. No more excuses, guys. And by the way, Beverly is an accomplished business consultant, corporate coach, trainer, facilitator, behavioral expert. She's a hypnotherapist, college professor, and business development expert. And I have her on the line right now. Well, hi, Bev. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Michelle. I'm very happy to be here.
It's great to have you here on the show. As always, you know, you've been here before, and it's always a pleasure to have you with
me. Well, all the stuff that you're helping your listeners with is what matters, so I love being here.
Oh, it's great to have you. And you know what? This book is probably one of the best books I have ever read about getting to where you want to go in your life. You
well,
make it concise. You have a responsibility element, but a practical element in it as well. And of course, you discuss the law of attraction a little bit, which you know I like. You know I like that stuff, Beth.
I know, but I will say that it comes as a very big compliment from you, because I know you also do. You look at this information and you know what you're talking about, and you certainly understand people. So I take that as a very high compliment.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Listen, folks, if you would like to call in and ask Bev a question or me, you can do so at 323-203-0815. But what I'd like to do is just help you with some of the great points Bev has in her book right now. You know, in your book, it's called Make Your Shift, right? The 5 most powerful moves you can make to get where you want to go, okay? So you have SHIFT is the acronym, correct?
Yes.
What does that stand for?
Well, of course, it's used in a couple of ways. So make your shift is because we are all, in one way or another, trying to shift from someplace that we're at to somewhere different.
Right.
But the five letters stand for steps in the process,
mm-hmm.
and they are in a particular order.
Mm-hmm.
S standing for what I call specify your desired outcome, which is being clear about where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
I, which is highlighting your obstacles and then categorizing them, understanding what's in your way. H. I is identifying the human factor,
mm-hmm.
and that really has to do with us. You know, what do we bring to the table? Who's
right.
in our universe? F for finding your alternatives, and then T, taking that disciplined action, having a plan that you're going to put into place to get that shift happening.
Yes. And you explain to them how to take the action, and we will get there a little bit later in the show. You know, Bev, I was talking at the top here about the standard approaches to setting and achieving what we want in life. Why don't these standard approaches usually work?
And isn't it the case, you know, people have such good intentions. I was just reading an article about how at this point in the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, 85% of the New Year's resolutions have gone by for most of us. So why does that happen? Because we really do want to get somewhere different and we care. So why don't we get there?
Right.
I think it's a couple of factors. I think number one, we don't have real clarity, and we can talk about that, but about where it is we're trying to go.
Right.
What is it that matters to us? Why are we headed in a certain direction? Number two, I think we don't look realistically. We're taught to have this, you know, positive, you go, you can do it kind of attitude. And so many times we're not looking realistically at what's standing in our way
mm-hmm.
and planning around it. And then last thing in terms of the top three really does have to do with how are we going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So what's our plan? How are we going to fit it into our already busy lives? Where is this going to become part of the fabric of what we're doing?
Right.
Oftentimes the best intentions don't materialize into that.
Yes, it's really true. And I see it all the time and I hear it all the time, and I'm sure you do too. That's why you're putting this book out, to really help people get with it. You know, focus, do the things that are going to get you what you need.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Let's talk about the first step, Bev. In your shift model, you say specify the desired outcome. Now, you know, that sounds pretty easy, right? But it's not as simple as it sounds. Why is that?
So isn't it, you know, we're taught that the best way to get to a new place
mm-hmm.
is to set a goal.
Right.
So I want to become a very well-known public speaker. So that's what I set as my goal. And I go out and I join speaking bureaus and I market myself. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, there I am, a successful public speaker.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we have the saying, be careful what you wish for, is that most of us set our goals like that. They're in a vacuum.
Mm.
And part of the problem is we're complex beings.
Right.
There's other factors in our life. So when I set that public speaking goal, I don't take into account, do I really want to be away from my kids all the time?
Right.
Is traveling what I really want to do? Is this, you know, do I actually want to spend more time away? Or is it that I have information I want to share and I want to get that information out there? So we don't ask the why about the goal that we're setting.
Mm-hmm.
So we get fixated on it, we move towards it, but we're not really clear about what's underneath it. And so half the time we wind up with something that we never really wanted in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, wait a minute, I got sort of what I wanted here, but now I didn't factor in all these other things that I really wanted in my life. I had this one focus, and I got it.
I got it, and I'm not happy, which
right.
is just a terrible feeling, right? Because it's
right.
like I'm successful, but yet I'm a failure.
It's true, and you are right. You really do have to be careful what you wish for, because if it's a constant focus and you're going towards it, you're chances are, using your step model as well, you're going to get it. But then you have to decide what you want to do with it when you've got everything else going on, right?
Exactly. And then
so,
it's like, okay, now I want to undo this and move to the next thing. So
yeah.
I think we need to just step back and look at really the why underneath it. And what's really driving me? What do I really care about here? Mm-hmm. And so, as I like to call it, what does success really look like? Not just what's the goal, but what would that successful state really look like to you? What's really happening?
Mm-hmm. And something that I hear from my colleagues, and I'm sure you do as well, is that they have really good intentions to write a book or do public speaking or have a broadcast show or an internet show or whatever. And they say, you know, I want to get my message across to help people. But there's always that ego issue that gets in the way too, you know, and we have to sort of focus on our goal is to more of a humanistic focus. I think that's sort of the way to do it. Rather than it's all about me and I want to be a star and people to worship my ways of doing things, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really, you know, what are you really trying to accomplish? And let's face it, for some people, it may be, well, hey, I want to see my name in lights.
There
I want
go.
To be in the limelight. And that's okay, but
right.
make sure you're capturing all of that and you're
yes.
not saying, well, I'm looking to do it for this reason.
Right.
Because you'll get that reason and then you'll find out, okay, I didn't even really want that in the first place.
Right, exactly. Well, in your second step, Bev, it involves highlighting our obstacles and categorizing them. So how do we go about doing that?
This is one I think is so powerful because what happens to us is we set off towards something we want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have this positive attitude, which is great. You know, for me, I really wanted to get on an exercise program. And
mm-hmm.
with my busy life, I decided, okay, 4:30 in the morning because, you know, that's the only time I can get up and do it. Well, obstacles for me are I don't really like running outside in the dark by myself.
Yeah.
You know, I really need my sleep. And so getting up at that time, you know, it was not working for me.
Sure.
And so what we don't do is we don't list the obstacles mm-hmm. to say, okay, what's in my way? But not to stop there, because it's not about defeating us and saying, well, look at all the reasons I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we need to categorize them. What can you control? What can you influence? And what's simply out of your control? I'm sure you see this all the time in the work that you do,
right.
but we see people so often spending so much energy on things that are just simply out of their control. You're not going to change your mother-in-law. So let's change the way that you react to
That's
her.
That's right.
So it's
That's right.
all about getting that power back. But I think
exactly.
you have to be able to look clearly at what those things are to be able to figure out how to act on them.
It's so true, Bev. And what I see also is people who are focusing on things that really are not practical or rational. How can you change someone else, you know, who has a difficult personality per se? You know, again, we're responsible for ourselves. And what I see is that we get angry and frustrated because we can't change them or because of the way we're dealing with them, and we get angry at ourselves for not being able to just rationally handle it. And then that bogs us up more, especially you know, in terms of planning-wise and energy-wise, to get what we want out of life.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then there's so many things sitting there that we can take into our planning process, but I think you have to be able to be real clear first about what they are, and then you can act on them.
Right. Exactly. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and, of course, my special guest today, Beverly Flaxington. She's the author of her latest best-selling book, Make Your Shift, The 5 Most Powerful Moves You Can Make to Get Where You Want to Go. And it really is very practical. It's a comfortable read, and it also is a little workbook. It gives you steps to not heavy-duty things, laborious problems, you know, to work out, just write down some things and plan. And we're talking about SHIFT, which is an acronym for all of the steps you need to take to move towards getting where you want to go. We're talking about the third step right now, Bev, and you suggest that in order to make that shift, people have to identify the human factor. What's that all about?
This is so important and is really the reason behind why I created SHIFT. It was a client of mine who said, you know, your whole approach takes into account something that many processes don't, which is what am I all about? Who's in my universe? Who can help me? Who might be able to hurt me? And really the kind of great work people like yourself do, which is really helping people understand what is really underneath.
Right.
Am I my biggest problem? Am I holding myself back somehow? You know, do I say I want to do this, but really I've got a fear about it? Is there some way I'm making this more difficult for myself? And by contrast, stakeholders, who's in our life? I had a hypnosis patient once, and we were working on weight loss, you know, and, you know, so she, her stakeholder was her husband. Well, she didn't take him into account. And so he was a bit of a jealous person. And so as she's trying to lose weight, he's taking her out to exotic restaurants, and he's buying her the nicest bottles of wine and beautiful boxes of candy. And was she going to lose weight? No way, because her stakeholder wasn't bought into helping her. And this is, we don't look at both our own role in whatever it is we're trying to do, as well as the other people around us. I think it's a critical piece that is just completely overlooked in most traditional ways of thinking about where we want to get to.
Sure. And what you're talking about, Bev, also is the factor sometimes that I see, and I know you do as well, that kind of, and I hate to be pop psychology, but codependence. You know, I'm very dependent on this person being sort of down so I can have a little bit of control. And I don't want her to get, in the example you were just discussing, too pretty, because I'm a little threatened. If my wife were to lose 35, 40 pounds, then she'd become too pretty. And then I might be a little threatened. But, you know, there's always something going. Yeah. Who else has a stake in your not being able to achieve certain goals? But I hate to be paranoid. I don't want people to be paranoid about, ooh, they don't want me to achieve this, or they are holding me back. But just like you said, sometimes you just have to look at that human factor of other people who may have a stake.
And understand them too, right?
Yeah, sure.
But, well, exactly. But, you know, and it's not always, and I like to say this, you know, it's not always negative. I mean, I can have qualities, my confidence, my, when I look at things I've done in the past and I've been able to overcome obstacles, people in my life who maybe I haven't thought about reaching out to. I was having a business lunch today and with two women who have no children. I have three kids and seven pets, and of course I work a lot.
Yeah.
And they were saying to me, you know, how do you do this? And I laughed. I said, well, I just find all kinds of talented people who can help me with lots of different things.
You
know, I have my posse that is available. And so, you know, it's not always a negative thing. I mean, we also look forward to someone have a skill. Can they, you know, help me understand this? Can they provide me support?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we don't take it into account. And so whether it's going to help us or hurt us, we just don't pay attention to it. I want people to just think about it and take it into the process.
That's a great idea. I think a lot of people tend to want to have complete control, you know?
Yes.
My husband is a very successful businessman, and I don't get a lot of business practices. I don't get marketing. I don't get financing. I don't get a lot of that. And he always says to me, you have to allow other people to teach you. You have to identify other people who have skills and know how to delegate and give
so
up control.
You know? Yes.
And I'm like, oh, he's so right. You know, but that's exactly what you're talking about, Bev.
And it's hard for us to do. Look, I mean, we do want to, I mean, many of us aren't taught how to do it well. You know, we're supposed to just figure it out on our own, or, you know, we're afraid to give up parts that are important to us. So, you know, you don't have to hand the whole thing over to someone, but just look at, are there pieces here that I could engage with someone else and they might be able to, even if it's just be my supporter? You know, why does places like Weight Watchers and whatnot, why do they have you do a part? Give a partner, right? I mean, I just need somebody to call and support me. That's a stakeholder, right?
Right.
There
you go. Exactly. By the way, if you just tuned into LA Talk Radio, my special guest today on the couch is Beverly Flaxington, and we're talking about her latest book. It's a bestseller, and it is a beauty. You guys should pick it up if you want to achieve your goals and are just not able to get quite where you want to go in life. This is the book to read. It's called Make Your Shift, The 5 Most Powerful Moves You Can Make to Get Where You Want to Go, and it's no-nonsense language. There's some workbook stuff in here, and it's just really clarifying a lot of the misunderstandings you may have had about how to get where you want to go. We're talking about the fourth shift that Bev suggests, and it's is to have readers find their alternatives. So what does that mean, and why is this so important?
Well, what I see happen so much, and I always laugh, I teach a college class where the students have to solve an issue for a real world not-for-profit. And what we tend to do is, I hear a problem, this is what this not-for-profit wants to do, I know what the solution is.
Right.
And we go right to, here's the solution. For me, okay, I want to exercise, I know, let me get up at 4:30 in the morning and go out and run. You know, so we have like this unilateral, okay, I'm headed here kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
What I say to people is, after you've specified what success looks like, you've looked at your obstacles, you've identified your human factors, let's just take a moment to think about, are there a few different ways you might be able to get to that desired outcome?
Yes.
So, you know, brainstorming. So thinking about, you know, making lists. What randomly comes to mind that might work? Or, you know, with a friend over coffee, what are some different things you could think about? Or,
yes, uh-huh.
you know, just I actually find, you know, when I'm struggling with something, walking my dogs, after I've gone through the process, I'll take my dogs out and I come back and I think, okay, there's three or four different ways I could do it. Let me write them all down and then figure out pros and cons.
Right.
So it's just, I think it lets us feel like, you know, it's not just, I have to be able to do it this way, and then if that doesn't work, I'm sunk.
Oh, it's
right? It's having a plan A and a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. Now, you want to pick one that's going to be your area of focus, but just that idea that I've got options, I've got some different choices, so powerful.
It really is powerful. And isn't it a stress reliever to some extent? Because if you're focused on just plan A, and this is the only way that's going to work, and this is, you're going to be disappointed if something falls through in that plan or something doesn't work. So...
Well, and it allows us, I think, a lot of times to go back to those obstacles and say, okay, look, that's my one way of doing it, but I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, I don't have the connections, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So it leaves us stuck. I think having alternatives and options, it takes us out of that stuck place and says, you know what, there are a few different ways I could do this.
Exactly. And let's talk about the fifth step here in your book. It's to help people get to where they want to go. That's the shift. To get to where they want to go. Now, you say take disciplined action. What are some of the ways you suggest that we do this?
Oh, this is one of these things, Michelle, over time that I have, you know, worked with corporate groups, with individuals, and people love to brainstorm and create ideas and have things they're going to do. But when it comes to, okay, what exactly are you going to do, though? When are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Mm-hmm. Who are you going to involve? Mm-hmm. We tend to really go around without actually, you know, going right into what's my plan.
Right.
So I just feel like this part is so key. Okay, you've got this path that you're going to go down. Great. What time allocation do you have to give to it? What are the steps that you have to take? Who can you get involved? Taking discipline action says, I am going to create a plan. There's a gym in the center of my town, and they make it's for women, and they make you make an appointment.
Right.
Because if you have an appointment, you're much more likely to show up there than if I'm just paying my membership fee and I don't have to go.
That's
and why
true.
Is that? It's about disciplined action.
Mm-hmm.
I have a commitment. Someone expects me to show up. I'm going to show up. We need to do this for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make that commitment to ourselves and write down exactly when it is we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, and what those steps are that we need to take so we can start to progress. And so we're not always saying, well, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to start the exercise program. Tomorrow I'm going to update my resume. Tomorrow I'm going to get that, you know, marketing intern on staff. Tomorrow I'm going to... It's like, okay, then what are you going to do tomorrow? Exactly what, when, put it on the calendar, plan it out.
Exactly. It's so true. It makes so much sense to do, and it's very difficult. But in your book, Make Your Shift, you really do make it clear how to do that easier without stressing yourself out, how to make time, how to plan these things so you're not beating yourself up, everybody out there.
Yes.
Now, Bev, in your final chapters, you suggest that our thoughts are thoughts are the most powerful tools we have. You and I have talked about this before. You know, we're both sort of into the law of attraction idea. And that suggests that we draw things into our lives according to what we focus our energies on, basically. And you talk about this. What are some of the powerful tools that you suggest that we can use to effectively focus on to achieve our goals.
Yes, and, you know, again, I will say the work that you do, I think, is so important because so many people are completely unaware that they are drawing a lot of the things that they don't want to them.
Yeah.
So how can we stop doing that? Well, a couple of techniques that I talk about in the book. One, I actually call it the stop technique, and this is something we used to teach to hypnosis patients, but I use it all the time, even in my corporate work. And that says, you know, we do tend to engage in negative self-talk. We ruminate over things, right? We get really stuck, and then all we can see is how stuck we are. The stop technique says when you catch yourself doing that, and we know, and maybe I have to be 20 minutes into it before I realize I'm doing it, but when you catch yourself doing that, you put a big red imaginary stop sign up. I have woman I work with, and she said, you know, she went online and found a big stop sign, printed it out, red and everything, and hangs it up by our computer. And she said, it just reminds me, I'm on the phone with someone, I feel myself getting frustrated, I hang up and I'm talking to myself about how I'm not very competent at what I'm doing, and I see that stop and it just tells your mind, cut it out, knock it off, and then turn to something more productive. If you've got your disciplined action plan, turn to, okay, what step could I take next? For some people, I actually have a song that I love from the 70s, and when I put the stop sign up, I just start singing my song because it just brings my mood up. It brings me back to life is good. I can figure this out.
Right.
So that's one easy one. You know, another really is learning stress techniques because we do tend to walk around, we're balls of stress. So just simple things like breathing, you know, taking a few breaths instead of being so uptight. When I'm walking in somewhere, instead of being nervous, breathing deeply and just sending that message to our brain, you know, well, calm down a minute. You can do this.
Absolutely. Great suggestions. By the way, Bev, how can people get a hold of your book, Make Your Shift, The 5 Most Powerful Moves You Can Make to Get Where You Want to Go?
It's a great time right now, actually, to get a copy of it. I have about 90 partners that join me in the launch. And so if you go to shiftmodel.com, it's just simply shiftmodel.com, you actually can buy it and take advantage of a number of just amazing people that are offering all kinds of free goodies along with the book. So it's a great time for about the next 5 or 6 weeks to be able to purchase it at shiftmodel.com.
Great. And it's a wonderful read, folks. I would encourage you, if you're having a hard time trying to achieve your goals, get to where you want to go, or just get past some minor things that you can't seem to go for, get a hold of this book. It's terrific. Bev, thank you so much for being such a great guest today on my show. I sure appreciate it.
You know, I just adore talking to you. I love the work you're doing, Doc Michelle, and I appreciate the time today.
Oh, my pleasure, Bev. Take good care, and good luck. I look
forward
to your next book.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye now. That's, again, Bev Flaxington, the author of Make Your Shift. And it's about the 5 most powerful moves you can make to get to where you want to go. And, of course, this show will be up on the archives tomorrow. If you'd like to get a hold of this book or get more information, contact Bev. I will have this up on the air. You can download it as many times as you want. And, of course, read the book to help enforce some of these ideas if you're stuck in your life somewhere. Speaking about stuck in your life, I usually get a lot of emails from listeners at docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle, D-O-C, michelle@aol.com. And it's in response to certain interviews I've done or certain things I've suggested on the air here. A lot of questions are asked to me about how to fix your lives. I don't know. I really don't know. But all I can say is this is also in keeping with what Beverly was talking about, making a shift to take responsibility for certain issues that you may have, making a responsibility, your responsibility to be rational, to focus, be more assertive for your thoughts and actions. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some emails that I received, and I've contacted you already online to let you know that I'm going to answer your questions on the air. And I thank you for emailing me. And if you have any other questions or issues you'd like to, I do not do online therapy, but I will answer your questions on the air here on the couch. All right, and I'll let you know when I'm going to do that. The first online letter I got here is from Angela. And this is all about, again, sort of taking responsibility and being more assertive. And she says, Dear Doc Michelle, I'm 25 years old and I still feel that I attract many people in my life who try to control me. I would describe myself as a nice person who's easygoing. I usually go along with plans that my friends make because it usually doesn't matter to me. Some of my friends say I'm a good listener and will tell me all their problems. But sometimes I don't feel like they're interested in my feelings or problems, so I keep quiet. I grew up in a family that had a lot of control and fighting, and I think I hated it so much that I became easygoing and more withdrawn. I have also attracted boyfriends who have these traits. What is it with me? Do I have a target painted on my forehead? Can you help me? Thanks, Angela. Thank you for writing, Angela. I really appreciate it. And I think I can give you some pretty good ideas, suggestions on how to proceed with picking the wrong kind of guys, picking more healthy friends who really care about who you are, and getting rid of that whole belief system that you have a target painted on your head. You may need some assertiveness training, right? Because you've probably heard about this. It is the ability to express one's feelings and assert one's rights while respecting the feelings and rights of others. Let me tell you about how to communicate assertively. You're not going to hurt anyone's feelings if you are assertive. If you're aggressive and angry because you're really frustrated, and I'm going to talk about that on my next email, you are going to piss off people. People will not like you. People will not respect you, although many people think that does get respect. So here's the thing, Angela. Assertive communication is appropriately direct, open, and honest. It clarifies your needs to the other person. And some people, it comes easy to. It does not come easy to other people, especially people like you who've had your history, where you're a little more passive, where you've learned to shut your mouth in your chaotic environment growing up is the best thing to do. And that's what happens. It's called survival. I don't blame you, Angela. Some people go the other way and they scream and yell to get heard in a family of chaos. You chose to shut down and be quiet. I see this a lot. So you've learned to not really adequately communicate your feelings and needs to others. So the problem is if you're fearing conflict so much, you let your needs go and you keep your feelings secret in order to keep the peace, right? So passive people aim to avoid conflict by avoiding communication about their needs and feelings. And the problem is that this damages relationships in the long run. A lot of people are going to be taking from you because you're just the listener and you have so much going on. The problem is also is that you may have a meltdown because you are so passive. A lot of times passive people who keep a lot of feelings in and things that they want to express in because they don't want conflict have panic symptoms. They're stressed out. All right? Now, I'm not advocating anger and, like I said, throwing things and expressing. I'm talking about assertiveness. Okay? So it's a really good thing to be more assertive. So how do you become assertive? You listen to someone for a minute or two, what they're saying, if they're upset or they are going on and on and on about their problems and they're not asking about you or how you're doing. Or if you need someone to help you with something, or if you need something in your life, all you have to do is say, I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'd love you to talk about it, but I don't have the time to talk right now. I have other things to do. I do care about you and what you need to talk about, but I'm pretty busy right now, so we'll talk later. Bye-bye. That's it. You have simple sentences ready to go. You attract guys, you say, Angela, that are a little too controlling and talking, and they like to have issues? Well, I'm not willing to fight with you right now. And if you're so angry, I think maybe you need to use an anger workshop. I'm not willing to hear your anger. Really, it's not okay with me. Assertive. I would suggest, Angela, that you go to assertiveness workshops. They're great, and they do help people out a lot. You know what I'm saying? An assertiveness training workshop will help you find the language. Use I statements. I'm not feeling comfortable hearing this right now. I need to go. I'm not okay with you being so angry. I did nothing wrong. I don't have time. But I do care for you a lot. Short and sweet. I need this right now. Oh, you can't give it to me? That's okay. We'll talk later. I have to go. So it's all about being more assertive, not cowering and holding back and being the silent little mouse who was raised in an abusive family. And again, sweetheart, that's about survival, and I get that totally. And you sound like a sweet and lovely lady. If you have any further questions, Angela, you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. I hope I helped you out. Do you find maybe a assertiveness training class in your area? That would be great. Check it out. They have great groups. They have great one-on-one. And they do have, you know, low-cost classes like this as well at your local college. You know, many health clinics have these kind of assertiveness training groups as well. Check it out, honey. And thank you so much for emailing me here. We're going to move on here. And if you would like to email me a question or if you have issues going on, I'll be happy to answer them for you on the air. I do not do online therapy, but I will do it here on the air, and I'll let you know that I am going to answer your question. And it's Doc Michelle, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. I have no problem helping you with this at all. We're moving on, and this looks like it's from Josh. All right. Hi, Doc. I think I'm a pretty good guy, but the last two women I've been in relationships with accused me of being too angry and hot-headed. Uh-huh. So this is the opposite of what we just heard from Angela. I would never hurt anyone and have some good friends. I've always been a person who doesn't put up with other people's crap. What is wrong with that? Don't I have a right to get angry once in a while? I've been told I'm an alpha macho kind of guy from many women, but I guess I should try and deal with my anger sometimes. What do you think? I think, yeah. You know, I hear what you're saying in your letter. Josh, thank you for emailing me, by the way. I hear what you're saying about I'm the kind of person who doesn't put up with other people's crap. See, when I hear that, though, I automatically think that you are a defensive guy and you have a lot of defense mechanisms because you've been hurt in the past and you've got to be ready to fight. And that's called a survival instinct from I don't know your background. But you're not going to let anyone give you crap. So what you have to do is, you know, learn that people aren't out to get you and people usually aren't trying to give you crap. And if they are, it's their crap. I hate to use that word. I don't know why I'm doing that right now. The emotion of anger is neither good or bad. It's sort of normal. It's perfectly healthy to feel angry when you've been mistreated or wronged. The feeling is not the problem. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. So you've been told that you're too angry and hot-headed. Do you have that in your family? You've got to look at your family members. Do you have a lot of acting out? Did dad or mom act out? Grandma or grandpa, siblings? Are they just putting it out there? You think you have a right to just put your anger on other people? Is that the model you learned? I guess you may have. I don't know. See, the thing is that you talk about having past relationships with women. Past is the key word here. You have blown them away with your anger. It becomes a problem when it harms you or others. And I'm talking about verbal, not physically. I hope you're not physically angry. What I'm getting from you here is that you're verbally angry. If you're physically angry, you need to get some therapy. Or you're going to be arrested. And if you have a hot temper, as many people do, they just boom, because they're so trained to respond like a knee-jerk reaction. because they're waiting for someone to insult them. They're waiting to be defensive. You know, you have to tame the beast, Josh. You have more control over your anger than you think. You can learn to express your emotions without hurting others. And when you learn this, you'll not only feel better, but you're going to get your needs met and you're going to have some ladies in your life who are not pushing you away, saying, you're weird, you're a creep, you're too angry all the time. And you say you're an alpha male, like you're proud of it. That's cool. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, characteristics of alpha males that are really positive. That's great. But if you're blowing people away with your anger and you're yelling and you have a hot temper, that's no fun to be around. In a relationship situation, in a family situation, in a work situation, you'll find people leave. The only kind of people you're going to keep in your life are the ones who are cowering and going to take this because they're codependent. Or they want to fight with you and they get a charge out of that. So you have to learn how to detox this drama from your brain, guy. Okay. There are anger workshops out there. There really are. So think about taking some anger workshops. Just check your local clinic. Let me give you some myths about anger real fast, too. Things to think about, Josh. I shouldn't hold in my anger. It's healthy to vent and let it out. Nope. Get a sport. Let it out in a sport. Express yourself through, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you talk to me like this. You don't have to always be in defense mode. Here's another myth. Anger, aggression, and intimidation help me earn respect and get what I want. You think you're an alpha male? You know, power does come sometimes from bullying others. Do you want to be seen as a bully, though? You know? People will be willing to listen to you and accommodate your needs if you communicate in a respectful way. All right? Let me give you another myth. I suggested that you go to some anger management classes. And you say anger management is about learning to suppress your anger. No! No, never getting angry. That's not a good goal. Anger's normal, like I said. It'll come out regardless if you try to suppress it. It'll come out in stress. It'll come out in physical violence. It'll come out in different ways. Okay? You just need how to sublimate it. Put it onto something else in terms of learning how to speak about what your needs are or why you're frustrated. And you're not going to be seen as a girly man. I need to feel and express my feelings. No, you're going to be respected more. Tell people what you would appreciate from them rather than yelling and getting hot and trying to be so defensive about what they did to you to slight you. Get over it, Josh, honey. Okay, please. All right. I appreciate you writing me. There are better ways to manage your anger. All righty. Thanks for emailing me at docmichelle@AOL.com. And I told you I would answer some of your questions here. And I appreciate you writing me. If you have anything that you would like to ask, I am taking time out to help you with some of these issues. Let's see here. Let's go on. So Skype, good one. Dear Doc, I am getting married in 4 months. I've been engaged for 4 years, but my fiance and I have at least 2 major issues. Uh-oh. I don't know if this is serious enough for me to consider backing down from marriage. My fiance and I are not seeing eye to eye on money issues. He feels that when we're married, once the bills are paid, for each person should have allowance money to spend. The catch is that the other person should not ask what the money was spent on. Oh, she gives me an example. Okay, this is from Katie, by the way. An example is he spends money on CDs or a football jersey that's over $200. If he used it from his allowance money, I should not complain. I'm not okay with this. My parents have been together for over 30 years and consult every detail of their expenses together. My fiance feels that this is like reporting to the mate. Okay, and here's her other problem. She says, whenever something bothers me, other than money matters, I feel I can't tell him without him getting upset. Uh-oh. Here we go with the anger thing and control. I email him or try over the phone. This doesn't work. He never wants to hear the bad. He only wants to always be on the upbeat. However, I have issues I want to discuss. I feel he keeps me from expressing my feelings, which turn into resentment. Lately, I've really been questioning my relationship. Obviously. Please help me. I'm getting married in 4 months, and I'm afraid of failing. Any advice will be appreciated. Okay, Katie. Those are two biggies. I'd say the biggest one is not being able to express your feelings and him not listening. The fact you have to email him or write him a letter or try over the phone to leave him messages or text him to talk about your feelings. That's not good. You guys need to get into some kind of premarital counseling before the wedding. A lot of couples who do this, they have great results. I'm serious. You've known each other, what, for 4 years? And what's really interesting to me, it sounds like you've been shoving a lot of these problems under the carpet, because I'm wondering why you're just beginning to get scared. These things are coming up. Maybe they've been boiling or simmering for a long time, and this is why it is getting close. So here's the deal. You're with someone who does not allow you to communicate with him and who seems to shut out anything he doesn't want to hear. There is no such thing as a relationship unless the two of you can really talk about your feelings. All right? I don't know what his background is or why he doesn't want to hear you, but that's a deal breaker. Every healthy relationship has sharing with couples, being able to express their needs or feelings. Now, I'm not talking about being a nag, Katie. Well, I need this, and I heard, and whining and being an ache. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being able to appropriately, I feel, or I've seen that, or I am having a problem with, or just stuff at work. You need somebody who you can come home with or to and talk with after work or after whatever you do. And God forbid if you have children, you need support there. Emotional support. So don't go there, girlfriend, yet. Okay? So you need to bring this up in your marital counseling about being able to communicate and have someone who you can talk to. Not nag. Not complain about the world to. Maybe that's what he's picking up. Check and see if you're doing this to him. But if you need someone who you can just share your feelings with, come home from work and say, God, my boss is so demanding. Do you know what he said to me today? Blah, 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 blah. Maybe he's one of those kind of guys who feels that he has to fix your problems. Many men feel that they have to fix a problem rather than just be quiet and listen and go, wow, honey, I'm sorry to hear that your boss is such a jerk. How are you going to deal with it? Well, I think I'll just keep quiet, or I'm going to try to maybe move within the company. That's a good idea. You know, you need someone who's going to listen. So this is all part of premarital counseling, is communication skills. When I think each partner should have discretionary cash to spend as they choose, I think that's okay, but I think your problems go a lot deeper than money. See, what happens a lot of times is as a rule, what I find in my practice is that money issues are usually symbolic of a deeper problem. So I think your fiance, for whatever reason, has difficulty dealing with anything he doesn't want to hear. Okay, these are the biggies. You got to understand, Katie, that marriage is a long and serious lifetime arrangement. It's impossible that issues won't arise, which he will need to address and hear. You got to have somebody you can communicate with who actually cares, someone who shuts you out. And if it's not all bright and fuzzy and warm and wonderful, what you're saying to him, he shuts you out. Get a marriage counselor. I don't care. You don't have to pay for a therapist necessarily. Go to your clergyman if you have a particular church. If you have a synagogue, go to a rabbi, get some advice. There are a lot of people out there who will help you define exactly what you want in your marriage. These are deal breakers. I wouldn't get married to this guy unless you work these out. And he needs to hear what you need in terms of someone who's a support system. And I thank you so much, Katie, for emailing me. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you have been on the couch. Thank you so much for coming aboard today. You can stay on the couch if you like. More interesting shows to come. Do email me if you like, docmichelle@AOL.com. Love to hear from you. Hope I helped you today. And don't forget to pick up Bev Flaxington's, I can't say that fast, book, Make Your Shift, to get to where you want to go. Have a great day, and as I always do say, take good care of yourself first, and that'll be making you great for other people. Bye-bye.